When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live right here on this Monday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid. A new week begins. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We continue our weekend recaps, everything we saw around the NBA playoffs. In our opening hour, a focus on the Western Conference. To start off this second hour, our focus is out east. A game four yesterday in the Motor City between the Pistons and the Knicks. A fourth game in Milwaukee, but things not looking very optimistic for the Bucks, either in the series or based on health. We'll get to all of that. We'll look at the Eastern Conference odds, what is ahead this week in the NBA postseason, and of course the RSA final and full recap on everything you need to know from the 2025 NFL draft. The quarterbacks on day number three, of course, that being Shedeur Sanders leading that class, the running backs, the other great spots, who won the draft, and what it all means for these organizations entering 2025. All of that here in this second hour on the Early Line.
Yeah, it's good recap Monday here. Good to be back. It feels like that, you know, armchair quarterback, because you are playing some NFL topics here that hopefully next year will come to fruition for a lot of these teams. But Ben and I were talking behind the scenes here. I do feel like it was a very good draft for just about every single football team, where teams can come away, and more importantly, fans can come away with some optimism. Some people think they got their franchise quarterbacks. Some people got dominant players that maybe fell to them in a certain position. I think most teams did really well this year. And also just the concept in the NFL draft, it's supposed to be like this. Round number one on Thursday, which I think is fantastic, gives all the comfort and stylings of we're going to get a good football player. Everybody had a draft pick in round number one. Then you get a chance to reconvene for day number two, which is rounds two and three, which gives teams chances to say, hey, we're not rushed on the clock. You can reset the market 15 to 16 hours off and get back after it. I thought the NFL teams did a very good job, and I thought the draft went off pretty well as a whole also.
And because of the Shedeur Sanders slide, a lot of attention into night number two. And then, of course, even day number three, where would Sanders end up? We'll talk all about that in just a little bit. Game number four yesterday in the Motor City between the Knicks and the Pistons. Very close in game number three. A big night from Karl-Anthony Towns leads New York to a 2-1 series lead. The Knicks entered game four, though, as a slight 2.5-point road underdog against Detroit. The Knicks win outright in a low-scoring game, 94-93. Not just a low-scoring affair, DRS, but a controversial one at that. In the closing seconds of regulation, Detroit down by one. Cade Cunningham, a shot from around the free throw line, was not good. Battle for a loose ball on the rebound. Ends up in the left corner, right in front of New York's bench, into Detroit's Tim Hardaway's hands. He goes up for a shot. contacted by Josh Hart. No whistle on the floor. Shot no good. New York comes away with the rebound in a game four victory to take that commanding 3-1 series lead. Yet after the game, the officiating crew admitting that they missed the call on Josh Hart, should have been called a foul, should have allowed Tim Hardaway Jr. 3 free throw attempts to put Detroit in front and give the Pistons a win. A missed call, a missed opportunity. New York wins game number 4, 94-93, outright as a 2-point dog.
Yeah, Knicks came back in the fourth quarter. Big shot-making. Jalen Brunson, I think, came into the fourth quarter with under 20 points. He finished his game with 32. Karl-Anthony Towns making three after three in big moments there in the fourth quarter to bring them back for that victory. But let's understand this, too. Like, I do respect the game here for Tim Hardaway Jr. You know, 4-13 from the three-point line. That's what he does. He's a three-point shooter. At the end of that game, when you shoot that final three-point shot, you got to wind up in the third row to force that referee's hand because it's clear it was a foul, but the ref might not have a good look at it, but there was no real reaction at the end for Tim Hardaway Jr. except like bouncing a little bit to the left off the court. You end up in the stands, like behind it, and tumble back. You will be at the free throw line. You will knock down two of those shots, and you would win the ball game at that point. Not his fault. He got fouled and did the right thing trying to go up and make contact, which he did, and still try to get the three-point shot off. But again, if I'm him, I wind up in the third row, and the Pistons have a win in that game.
A quick little shot fake from Tim Hardaway Jr. to draw Josh Hart up into the air and get that contact. I also think DRS, he was probably just trying to make the shot, so not trying to be theatrical in responding to the contact. Either way, a missed call admitted by the NBA, admitted by the officiating crew almost immediately after the game. It'll always have an asterisk, if you will, but New York, in the overall scheme of things, wins 94-93. Jalen Brunson, as DRS mentioned, with another 32-point game. He has had 30-plus in every single game, all four against the Pistons. Karl-Anthony Towns, 27-9 yesterday for Detroit. The Pistons trailed by as many as 15 early in that second quarter, DRS. They ended the opening half on a rally to cut it to a 7-point deficit at the break. They came out guns blazing in that third quarter to draw even and even take that fourth quarter lead before New York rallied once again. This has been an awesome series. We have seen some ebbs and some flows from both teams. Ultimately, though, the Knicks, a 3-1 series advantage. Everybody in Detroit has every right to be damn pissed on this Monday morning. A game stolen from you by the officiating. Ultimately, the Knicks up 3-1. The Knicks a minus 4,000 favorite, DRS, to win this opening round set. We head back to Madison Square Garden for game number 5. Do the Pistons have a chance of staving off elimination and returning to Motown?
I mean, they do, because they played some decent basketball here in the series as far. But that's another one of those where, let me test that coaching staff. Game number 1, they blew that game. They should have been up 1-0, and they actually had a great performance in game number 2 in the Garden. So if we're just going off recency bias and how the Detroit Pistons have gathered themselves after a devastating loss, I expect a pretty good performance. But understand this. It's a closeout situation. Madison Square Garden is going to be rumbling and shaking for that game, waiting for them to advance in that game, and probably another big game out of Brunson shooting 25-plus times from the floor. I do think the Pistons can be competent in this game and can win, but boy, that's a tough task. Two times in this series where you should have came away with victories, you came away with losses. Can they rebound again just to force a game number 6?
Again, optimism for Detroit. You have been in each and every game in the fourth quarter. You have held leads, I believe, in all four games in the fourth quarter as well. You had done so at Madison Square Garden. The Pistons, a 5.5-point dog for game 5 tomorrow night inside the world's most famous arena. DRS elsewhere around the Eastern Conference. A very interesting series in Milwaukee. The Bucks blew out the Pacers in game number 3 at home inside the Pfizer Forum for a little bit of life. Milwaukee entered game 4 as a 4.5-point favorite, trying to even up the set. That's what the odds makers expected. It did not go that way. Indiana wins by a ton in game 4, 129-103. They went outright as a 4.5-point dog, but that final score in a 26-point blowout for the Pacers, DRS, not the only story. Early in the opening quarter, Damian Lillard tumbling to the floor, look to be all the trappings of an Achilles injury. The Bucks saying after the game, it does not look very good. We have not received official confirmation just exactly what the injury is for Dame, but it looks like an Achilles rupture DRS. At the very least, we do not expect to see Damian Lillard return at any time for Milwaukee in this series, which might just have one more game to it.
Yeah, it's got one more game and that's it. Like, you're out of options here for the Bucks. Your chance to win this series or come back was, okay, Dame, we don't know if it's going to come back for the playoffs. And all of a sudden, Dame is back early in game in round one playoff series and only to come back and not play all that efficient basketball. But you did get the big game number three win and you're hoping to tie it up and send it back to Indianapolis with momentum on your side and the air right out of the building immediately in that first quarter with that Damian Lillard energy. And then you take a look there at the Pacers winning the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and then a blowout in the fourth quarter here, 129-103. That series is a wrap.
Yeah, it certainly is, DRS. You mentioned how deflating that moment was. The Pacers were up by three when the injury to Damian Lillard occurred. I'm not saying that Milwaukee would have won the game for sure if Dame was healthy, but it just really kind of took all the energy away from the Bucks in that building and maybe this season. Eight guys for Indiana last night scoring in double figures. In their three wins in this series, they've had at least six players hit double figures. Indiana balanced for that 3-1 lead. More to come on the Early Line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Indiana Pacers win game number four last night in Milwaukee after the Damian Lillard injury. Not a lot of life left in this series, it would appear. The Pacers, DRS, a minus 3,500 series outright favorite. Indiana, a 7.5-point favorite for game number five back at home in Indy. Is there anything that Giannis can do for Milwaukee to stave off elimination, or are we done in five?
We're done in five, but Giannis probably setting up for a 38-21-6 night, apparently, because if Dame's down and it's the last stand, you know he's playing 40-plus minutes in that game regardless of what the score is. Now, also, you have the Pacers do know that Dame's down now. Dame missed game number one. There's still talent on that Bucks side. They're not going to take it for granted, but there's no way, shape, or form the Bucks are coming back in this series because also, what did they show in the regular season? Average basketball team and not so good at conference at this point. Doc Rivers is your head coach. You know, there's not a lot of, hey, let's rally the troops and we can be able to overcome this. Now, if Dame didn't get hurt, they lost by 1 point. Like, all right, let's see what they have. But the fact that Dame's down now, that was a crushing blow after an exciting game number three that gave them hope in the series. All that hope vanished, Ben, for me in game number four.
Yeah, no doubt about it, DRS. You want to know how this series is over? Look at the time. Tomorrow night starts 6 p.m. Eastern time in Indianapolis.
I'll watch.
That is the scheduled start. Donnie's favorite game.
I love it.
Donnie's going to see the end of the season for the Bucks and Indiana more than likely clinch an opening round playoff series to advance to round number two. DRS, you know what else also is really fascinating? Because the Bucks probably don't have much life left here in this set. Giannis is doing everything he can. He scored 36 in game one without Dame, only to get 14 points in total from the other starters without Dame yesterday for 3.5 quarters. Nobody else scored more than 6 in the starting lineup, 15 points combined, despite Giannis having 28 and 15. Yeah. It will really be, and it's unfortunate because injuries now a portion of the conversation. We're not exactly sure if it is a ruptured Achilles, and it has all the signs of being that. When Lillard might be able to return, this is a devastating injury to have at this stage of your career. Is it for the experiment in Milwaukee of Dame and Giannis and Doc? I think there are going to be some changes for Milwaukee this upcoming offseason. DRS, game number 4 yesterday in Orlando. Basically, as we said, to start off this opening round playoff series between the Celtics, the Eastern Conference favorites, the reigning NBA champs, and the Magic. Could Orlando win one? Could they extend it to a 5th game as a 3.5 game series underdog? They did that with a Game 3 win late last week. Could they maybe even up the series as a 7.5-point dog at home yesterday? Not quite. They only lose by single digits, but they do not cover. Behind 37 points from Jason Tatum, Boston wins Game 4 to take that 3-1 series lead, 107-98.
Yeah, the only crazy part about it is Peyton Pritchard plays 26 minutes and doesn't even score a point in this game. Usually 26 minutes, Ben, equals 13 three-point shots, knocking down 5 or 6 of those here. Good win for the Boston Celtics. And as it's so hard to sweep a team. We talk about, Donnie, OKC got the win. If John Morant doesn't get injured in game number 3, they win that game going away probably by 25 points for the second half. OKC's like, hey, rest our starters. We'll be back for game number 4. And even in game number 4, that was a close game all the way down the stretch without John Morant. So case in point with the Magic, sealing game number 3. But you knew that the cream was going to rise to the top and the Celtics were not going to go down and say, man, we're going back 2-2 with Boston. Championship level organization, handled their business. Was it pretty? No. But no game you play against the Orlando Magic is going to be pretty. You got the victory. Tatum played 42 minutes. Doesn't look like he's has any worse for the wear with that wrist injury. You like what you see out of the Celtics. But again, the premise is road games in the playoffs, regardless of opponent, are incredibly tough. And that's what you saw yesterday. The Magic just don't have the talent that the Celtics have. That's simple.
36 points for Tatum in his return, also in game number 3 against the Magic. Boston, a 12-point favorite tomorrow night in game number 5 to end this series in a gentleman's sweep. Again, a 12-point favorite total tomorrow night inside TD Garden is 200. And DRS, the Magic do not have the talent all across the roster. The two guys that have been trying everything within their own abilities to extend this series, Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner. Last night, combining to score 55 of the 98 points Orlando scored. They scored 61 of the 95 the Magic had in that third game for their lone win so far in this series. 54 of the 88 field goal attempts even from Orlando, courtesy of Banchero and Wagner. Again, Boston a minus 50,000 favorite to win this series. 12-point favorite tomorrow, DRS, tomorrow night inside TD Garden.
Yeah, and why don't we have the more balance there, by the way? How can it be minus 50,000 on one side and 55-1 on the other side? At least give me some hope. Yeah. Like, bump that up for the Magic to 150-1, and we'll start to have some fun with that. But also, your guy Anthony Black, again, BSS, look at that, coming off the bench, double digits here. Did you uncover a principal play on the Orlando Magic where you must take this guy over his points prop, which is like 6.5, 7.5 on a night-to-night basis?
Maybe so, DRS, because nobody else wants to score in that starting lineup, not named Wagner or Banchero. So where things stand around the Eastern Conference at this moment, the Celtics remain the minus money favorites at minus 135, but the Cavs, DRS, hammering the Heat by nearly 40 on Saturday in Miami in game number 3, 3-0 series lead. Cleveland is the one seed. Let us not forget, plus 165 on the Cavs. Cleveland, an 8.5-point road favorite for game number 4 tonight, trying to sweep Miami. Will the Cavs do just that?
Yeah, it looks like the Cavs probably going to turn out the lights there. And they should. Number one seed here. This is what you're supposed to do, playing good basketball. We'll see what happens. And also, if you thought that one last kitchen sink game was supposed to be game number three, come on, man. Miami, like, you could just, go, that was it. Club Live down there, Fontainebleau Hotel. Yeah. Tyler Hero seat, it's ready. He's already got the reservations. He's got the sunglasses ready to go. The chains, the partying will begin once they get swept out here, no doubt in my mind.
DRS, I'm not sure any series in the Eastern Conference extends past five. At least that's what the odds makers are anticipating right now. And yet, despite impressive performances out of the Pacers and the Knicks over the Pistons, it still feels like we're going to see Cleveland and Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals to figure out what we have all known since the middle of January, basically, who is that best team in the Eastern Conference. OKC remains the favorite to win the NBA championship, plus 160, now 40 cents in front of Boston. NFL draft reactions from the entirety of it up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The weekend that was around the 2025 National Football League draft. He is Donnie. I am Ben. Recapping everything we saw on night number two and day number three. Of course, DRS and Germaneri had you covered for the recap of the opening round on Friday morning. But we'll look at everything in the microcosm that was the 2025 NFL draft and a sensational weekend in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Of course, DRS, whether it's a loaded quarterback draft class or one that is not looked at all that favorably by NFL organizations and talent evaluators, QBs always move the needle more than most. Here were the results of the quarterbacks taken outside of the opening round. Only two in round number one. Cam Ward first overall, the Giants trading back in, and at 25th overall drafting Jackson Dart. Tyler Shuck was the earliest QB to go on night number two, round two, pick 8, 40th overall to the New Orleans Saints. 25 years old, turns 26 in September. Kellen Moore drafted a guy they hope can be that face of the franchise right away for the rookie head coach in the Big Easy. The two other QBs, DRS, we saw on night number two, both in round number three, Jalen Milroe, 92nd overall to Seattle, and 94th overall, perhaps the most stunning quarterback to go in front of Shedeur Sanders. Now his teammate in Cleveland, Dylan Gabriel. DRS, what was your reaction to the three quarterbacks that went before Shedeur Sanders following round number one?
Yeah, surprised they did, because again, I thought, you know, just based on the odds and what I was hearing for the past couple months, that Shedeur Sanders, the only matter is, will he be top five? Will it be the Giants at three? Do the Giants trade back into the first round to get Shedeur Sanders? But there's no way Shedeur Sanders can get past the Pittsburgh Steelers at, let's just say, at 21 at that point. Well, he did all that and made it to round number five. But Tyler Shuck, for me, again, not watching a lot of football and breaking down film, seems, look, you know, NFL talent evaluators, and Kellen Moore included, understand what they're doing, and they know the quarterback position. So you trust that it's the right move. You'd like to get a kid that's 21 or 22 years old, figuring to have more. But at the quarterback position, these guys are playing into their prime well into their mid-30s. I'm not worried about that. But I do think an intriguing one there was to the Seattle Seahawks with Jalen Milroe, because the fact is, you hope you have your franchise quarterback that you signed as a free agent in Sam Darnold. But if that doesn't work out, you have a pretty good plan B. But also understand this. Now, Jalen Miller was an unbelievable athlete that you can use in certain packages. Yep. I love in the NFL, short yardage situations, goal line situations. He can help you out right away without having to learn the system on the fly and understanding the weight of being a franchise quarterback. In 2 to 3 years, he might be your franchise quarterback. In 2 to 3 years, you drafted him in the third round. You might be able to trade him for the second round or the first round, just depending on how things start to shake up. So I'm intrigued by the Milroe play because I love an athletic quarterback that can do multiple things, like start for your team or just come in for packages and make a difference right away. The one was the head scratcher. Really is Dylan Gabriel, because if you are a college football fan and you watch a lot of games, he put up big statistics, was a good runner, athlete, you know, all the way around. But it's just to me, I don't know where he fits in Cleveland or in the NFL picture. He's not a super strong guy, doesn't have the big time cannon arm, but he is a winner and he has put up stats. So I think it makes sense for Cleveland. But if I had to say Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel in 2 years, who's still going to be on the Browns or at least be a starting quarterback? I'm still going Shedeur Sanders over that point, which makes it really weird that they went Gabriel, then Sanders, and then pit them against each other. You probably should have just went round three Shedeur Sanders and drafted another person in round number five that could help the football team out. It was interesting to me on what they did.
That's what makes the actual selection of Shedeur Sanders, not where he slid and where he ended up, all that much more fascinating. Because it wasn't the first time the Browns could have drafted Shedeur, even outside of round number one. They passed on him so many times on night number two, and they drafted another quarterback who, it was clear, DRS, by all reporting, the Browns liked a ton more. Whether you agree with that assessment or not, it was clear that Cleveland was infatuated with Dylan Gabriel and wanted to use a valuable third round selection on him, and then ended up with Shedeur Sanders at 144 overall on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure either guy will start a game for Cleveland this year or in their careers. Donnie has said Shedeur Sanders is going to start for the Browns this year. There's a chance that both of them start this year because DRS, the Browns are not exactly a quarterback powerhouse either right now or, of course, in the last 2.5 decades. But it's all very intriguing to see that Dylan Gabriel was selected by the same team. That was the most stunning decision of a quarterback in front of Shedeur Sanders for Sanders to end up in the same QB room.
Yeah. Let me get a quick point on this, Ben, because I want your opinion also after the break. Like, we talk so much about Shedeur Sanders and how he can be the starting quarterback, what happened to him. How's Dylan Gabriel's camp like this? Like, you drafted me in the third round, then you put Shedeur right behind me. Like, that doesn't sound like a lot of confidence either in me or what's supposed to happen for the Browns. Interesting.
Completely agreed, ER. That's a great point that we'll discuss further next.
Yeah.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on this Monday morning, recapping the 2025 NFL Draft. DRS, as we saw throughout the weekend, 13 quarterbacks in total selected at some point throughout the 2025 NFL Draft. Two in the opening round, three on night number two, and as we just discussed, Dylan Gabriel ahead of Shedeur Sanders. Now, you said something earlier comparing not quite to the RG3 and Kirk Cousins selections back in, I think, 2013, 2012, whatever it was, but it's not necessarily that. Dylan Gabriel, the end of the third round, Shedeur Sanders in the fifth round. Neither guy expecting to be the starting quarterback for Cleveland at a point this year, but certainly not beginning in week number one. Neither guy seen as the face of the franchise. But you looked at it from the angle of Gabriel's camp. Hey, you drafted me because I was your guy in all the conversations that we actually had when I went to the Senior Bowl, when I went to the NFL Combine, when I worked out in Indianapolis and for you guys on a top 30 visit. We seem to jive very well, and yet you draft this other guy that, although he slid, is going to have all the attention and notoriety surrounding him. What gives? Am I not good enough? Do I not get my chance to prove it? It is that kind of weird dichotomy, DRS, which makes the Browns' selection of Sanders a little bit questionable to me as well. I really think from Shador's perspective, it's an interesting moment entering the National Football League. Obviously, at some point, Shedeur and his camp over-evaluated his talent stock, over-evaluated where he was going to land. Because if he ends up in the top 10 or even in round number one, he goes in there expecting to be the starter early in his rookie season, whether that's week one or week seven at some point. Now, Donnie, as we had shared, from the football perspective, Shedeur St. Andrews is going to Cleveland to maybe, just maybe, earn a spot on the 53-man roster, or maybe, just maybe, hold on to a training camp invite or a practice squad spot at the end of it all. That's what happens when you're drafted in the fifth round, your name, your notoriety, or otherwise.
He's got to make the team. There's no way he can make it to the practice squad. Somebody's going to snap him up at that point. Like, if there was a thing around the NFL, it's like, oh, we're going to show him, which I don't believe. Like, you know, the NFL general managers, owners, and coaches, they want to win football games. They're going to play the best player, even if it has a, you know, a character default on the player. We've seen bad characters come to the NFL and perform highly, and players play because they help you win football games. I don't think Shedeur Sanders is going to be a practice squad guy. He would be gone in week number two once that contract isn't guaranteed at that point. But understand this too. If you're looking from a Cleveland perspective, like, the room actually made some sense, right? You have the aging veteran in Flacco. If you can lean on a good locker room guy, you have the younger veteran in Kenny Pickett. So my thought process would have been, okay, we're going to roll with Kenny Pickett as a starter. If something goes wrong, we have Joe Flacco that can just be there to add stability. But then we want to add a young quarterback to the mix. So you actually have a really good quarterback room. Now you throw a wrench into it by taking two young guys and having them challenge because they both think they should be starters. And then you have the older veteran and the younger veteran still in the room. I don't think it makes that much sense, because understand this. Everybody's supposed to be professional, but people used to get mad at, all right, Brett Favre here. Well, I'm not going to help Aaron Rodgers out. You're supposed to do that and be a good teammate. That's your job you're trying to groom him for, to take it from you. Yeah. So when Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders show up in the same room, they'll shake hands and wish each other well, and then immediately once they're done doing that, they're like, I hope this guy stinks and I can beat him out of here at this point. There's no helping those two guys. Oh, we're best friends as rookies here. So I do think it's a detriment to that quarterback room. But for me, I don't think Shedeur Sanders is going to go to training camp and get cut from the Browns. And if he goes to the practice squad, he will be gone from that team. Which makes it interesting, which is what to do with Pickett and Flacco. They're carrying four active quarterbacks on that roster. That's not going to happen.
No, I don't think so, DRS. It's a really good point, but you do wonder if none of the other 31 NFL organizations, all with multiple opportunities to select Shedeur Sanders, didn't do so in the draft. Why would they take Cleveland scraps if it ends up being that case? Of course, DRS is right. They always want to win. If the opportunity presents itself and it makes sense, Shedeur Sanders will have a spot. First and foremost, though, using what was, of course, a humbling experience to try to take advantage of his opportunity now with the Cleveland Browns, because it might not have been in the first round or even in rounds 2 through 4, but Sanders was drafted to the NFL, and that is an accomplishment in itself. Go out there and earn your spot. Kyle McCord, who led the nation in passing, set an ACC single-season record this past year at Syracuse, drafted to his hometown team, a native of regional Philadelphia, heads to Philadelphia for the Eagles in round 6. Will Howard, a Pittsburgh Steeler drafted in the 6th round as well. And DRS, what's really interesting here, a lot of conversation about the Shedeur Sanders slide. Not enough about Quinn Ewers being drafted in the 7th round with the 15th pick in that 7th and final round. A lot of conversation about the NIL landscape in college football and taking that leap to the National Football League. There is no doubt that Quinn Ewers could have made more last season than he will make in the entirety of his rookie contract with Miami or elsewhere. But Quinn Ewers wanted to play in the National Football League. He will get his opportunity with the Finns.
And I respect it. And some people will say, like, how could you pass up all that money? But sometimes in the point of your life where you've had your fill of a college experience, you had made some money, and you said, boy, I really liked it at Texas here. Now I'm ready to go pro. I just hope I get an opportunity, which the Dolphins will give him. Or you could have stayed around again to be around college peers for a couple million bucks and maybe to enjoy yourself. Because contrary to popular belief, money isn't everything to a lot of these athletes. Like, the only thing I need is just to get paid, and we'll see where it winds up. He thought the best evolution of his life was to go professional and try his ranks there. I don't have any problem with that. Some people look at it as foolish, should have took the money here, but he's ready. And if he's ready, let him go.
And he earned a lot of money during his time in college, first at Ohio State, and then, of course, with Texas. He is also a native of Austin. He always wanted to be with the Longhorns. He left a legacy with the Longhorns as well. Two consecutive college football playoff bursts, first conference championship that Longhorns had seen in 15 years back in 2023. Yes, he could have transferred somewhere, as Arch Manning will have the job this year for Texas, and made a lot of money. And you should always earn as much money as possible at any stage of your career, football or otherwise. But if you are the person that looks at these college athletes and makes fun of them or questions their integrity as they chase a bag, and then are the same person that points and laughs at Quinn Ewers for passing up on that money, you are just a hater who cannot make your own bag in doing so. DRS, a couple of other quarterbacks drafted in between Will Howard and Quinn Ewers. Riley Leonard heads to Indianapolis. A lot of people have joked he's kind of like the merger of Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones in one. He'll be in that same quarterback room. Graham Mertz to the Houston Texans. Loved what Vegas did at the end of round six. Tommy Mellott, who is the quarterback at Montana State. More than likely, they say he will transition to a wide receiver in the NFL. But he played in the FCS National Championship game against North Dakota State's quarterback, Cam Miller, who was drafted just a few picks later by the Raiders as well. Curtis Rourke, who led Indiana to a college football playoff appearance a season ago. Seventh-round draft pick. Those mean something in San Francisco at the quarterback spot.
Yeah, just taking some flyers later on, maybe you find gold, and certainly with Brock Purdy, you say, hey, man, look at the seventh-round picks and the Tom Brady's of the world. You might uncover some of those gems, but also, you do need quarterback arms in training camp, which is why these guys get looks. They'll stay on a practice squad, and every couple of years, those sixth and seventh-round picks will rotate out of the quarterback positions. We'll find that to go. But of those, I don't know if you got a gem looking at it, but then again, we didn't think Brock Purdy would be a gem either, getting drafted that late.
Yeah, you've got some opportunities to earn a playing spot, to earn a spot on a roster. Why not go out there and try to do so? DRS, some other notable picks from the weekend that ones. The pair of Ohio State running backs go early in round two. Quinshon Judkins to Cleveland, Travion Henderson to New England. Love that pick for the pass, by the way. Will be very interesting to see where Henderson factors in to the running back room alongside Ramondre Stevenson. And I love Cam Scataboo to the New York Giants. A little bit later than we expected in round number four, but Donnie, he is going to be a fan favorite if he can make an impact with the G-Men.
No, I remember when Jeremy Shockey went to the Giants. I was upset about that being a Miami fan. He came right in and took New York City by absolute storm right off the bat. I don't know if Scataboo is going to do that, but he will be a fun player to watch, no doubt about it.
Wow, what do they have in common? More on the early line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live right here on this Monday morning on the early line on Sports Grid, recapping the entirety of the 2025 NFL Draft. We'll talk some Rookie of the Year odds, both offensively and defensively, in just a moment as well. We talked about Cam Scataboo right before the break, DRS, early in round four to the New York Giants. Alongside with Tyrone Tracy in that backfield, they've got some dynamic players there for the G-Men. Luther Burden III goes to Chicago early in round number two. Harold Fannin Jr., the record setter out of Bowling Green, makes his way to Cleveland. And Mike Green, a talented talented edge rusher out of Marshall, who led FBS college football in 2024 with 17 sacks, drafted by the Ravens at the end of round two. The reason, DRS, that Mike Green was on the slide is some personal character issues. Accused of sexual assault during his high school playing days, originally signed at Virginia, had to sign a zero-tolerance policy at UVA, broke said policy with more sexual assault allegations during his time in Charlottesville, transferred to Marshall because of some of those character concerns, slid later in the draft. The Ravens take a shot on him. You do hope that he has turned things around, but that's why he is not a first-round talent, because of those very serious and significant allegations outside of the playing field. But you were a big Harold Fannin Jr. guy, said he was your sleeper. He goes earlier than some presumed, DRS, even if it was night two, but early in round number three.
Yeah, I like that, too. And by the way, quick comment on Mike Green. Like, you know, presumption of innocence, you get that, and you'll go through the legal, you know, trials and tribulations. But also understand this from a Ravens perspective. They're dealing with this from their kicker, too. And then to add on to that at the draft, look, there is something to say about is talent. Can you win a football game? Yes. But that's interesting for the Ravens, who are just like, you know, jumping right back into that arena for the wrong reason. We'll wish him well, and hopefully he gets his life together and has a good, productive career. But interesting for the Ravens, no doubt. Fannin Jr., loved the kid. And by the way, with the Browns, like I liked what they did, because I do like the fact that until you get your quarterback, keep trying. So they get Gabriel and they get Shedeur Sanders. We'll see if one of those two quarterbacks works out. Better to have two than one. But it was interesting to me that Quinshon Judkins, who I loved in college at Ohio State, went ahead of Travion Henderson. I just thought Henderson was like that perfect prototype back that Cleveland would have loved to have. And the fact that they passed on him and went to the Browns. So your opinion is right. Love what the Patriots did, because that's a perfect guy to have in the backfield for your young quarterback in Drake May. But Harold Fannin Jr. going to the Browns, to now, like, the two tight end set I love in the National Football League. Like, really, like, who's the originators of it? You could probably say the New England Patriots. But, boy, you have two super athletic tight ends on your roster for your young quarterbacks coming through. Now you add the running game with Quinshon Judkins. You already got, you know, some solid wide receivers. I like where Cleveland went here. I just thought it was interesting that Judkins went over Henderson. But Fannin Jr., you want to talk about a guy that doesn't block all that much? Neither does Njoku. You got two wide receivers at tight end with big bodies out there, baby. I love it.
Fannin Jr. probably going to play some sort of hybrid role. The reason he was not the first tight end, despite setting single-season records for all FBS tight ends ever, is because he is not the greatest inline blocker, a little bit smaller, but what an athletic freak that he is. DRS, Travion Henderson was the minus money favorite, around minus 400, right before round two started on Friday, to be that first pick by the Browns at number 33 overall. Cleveland does not take him with either of their top two picks in the first four of round number two. Henderson does not wait long to get snatched up early in that second round by New England. How about friends of the program here on the early line? We had the distinct pleasure of interviewing a couple of NFL draft prospects during the draft process. Ja Joyner, the edge rusher out of Minnesota, signs as an undrafted free agent with the Las Vegas Raiders. Big Mark, Marcus Harper II, signs with the Colts. One guy, DRS, the mulleted man from Pittsburgh, the tight end Gavin Bartholomew, a six-round pick out of Pittsburgh, headed to Minnesota. Congrats to all of them. They will get an opportunity at the next level in the NFL.
Yeah, we'll follow him along there. And again, some people say Bartholomew only got drafted because of the swag that he has out there on the football field. Going to Minnesota in a good environment with a great play caller here. So we'll wish those kids well, certainly, on their journey into the NFL.
Yeah. Certainly so, DRS. In the common denominator among all three of those NFL draft prospects now in the National Football League, Donnie mentioned his D3 playing days in college football to each and every one. Rookie of the year odds now, DRS. We start on the offensive side. Some interesting odds opening up, and we'll talk about Travis Hunter in just a second. Because of the fact he might split duty in Jacksonville, he is not the favorite for either offensive ROI or defensive ROI either. The favorite offensively, the sixth overall pick to Las Vegas, that would be Ashton Jeanty at plus 270. Cam Ward, the number one overall pick, not the best price, a 4-1 number for Tennessee.
Yeah, you're looking at Ashton Jeanty being the starter from day number one, which means a few hundred touches. He should be the favorite for Offensive Rookie of the Year. The question is not Cam Ward, who's going to play all 17 weeks, but how efficient can he be and what that team is going to look like. And then you get to Travis Hunter at a plus 750 price. We don't technically know what he's going to do full time. So if you say we're going to split some time on defense and offense, you know, that's going to affect the overall statistics that he has, catches that he can get on offense, yeah, or interceptions on defense per se. So Jeanty does make a lot of sense, because he'll be fun, and you could probably pencil him in for, what, double-digit touchdowns as a rookie right away. And if Cam Ward doesn't light it up, 4,000-plus yards, 28 touchdown passes, it probably will go to Jeanty. But that true wild card here really is Travis Hunter, yeah, because maybe you should just have Rookie of the Year, and he'd be a runaway sure favorite if he's playing both ways like a Shohei Ohtani would be in baseball. Like, how do you not give this guy the award when he pitches and hits?
And that is the distinction, though, offensive and defensive in the National, yeah, Football League, DRS. There is no doubt that maybe the most impactful rookie to begin will be Travis, yeah, Hunter. To have 1,000 receiving yards in his rookie campaign, plus 230, not all that long of a price. 75-plus catches and multiple interceptions, plus 250. 10 total touchdowns, 7-1. Total touchdowns, I would presume, includes the potential of a pick six. Sure. 5 offensive touchdowns, it does not. No special teams. Thank
not,
you, Joe Freeza.
Yeah,
5 offensive touchdowns and at least a defensive score, 12-1, to win Rookie of the Year awards, DRS, 50-1. We'll get your thoughts on Travis Hunter,
yeah,
in his new role, in his new home of Duval. Up next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to this Monday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Travis Hunter traded up 4 by the Jacksonville Jaguars to draft him number 2 overall because he is seen as a unicorn. In fact, if you heard from 34-year-old GM for his first year in Jacksonville, James Gladstone, you would think that Travis Hunter is the most special talent the world has ever seen. And maybe that is the case, DRS. We showed the odds in the season specials for Hunter's rookie campaign in Duval County. Here is where they stand. Of all of those prices that you can bet on right here, right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, which one looks the most intriguing or perhaps the most out of whack?
Well, it's certainly not the 10-plus total touchdowns at a 7-1 price, which means, again, if you're not using special teams, you probably say, oh, God, he scores 8 on offense and 2 on defense. And then you look one down and go 5 offensive touchdowns and 1 defensive touchdown is 12-1. It's almost double the price point. Like, why would you bet the 7-1 knowing that for him to get 10-plus touchdowns as a rookie wide receiver, he might be part-time? Why would you even go that direction? You know he's going to be playing defense at some point, and he is a defensive maven, which means that ball gets intercepted, he's electric in the open field. That's by far a better bet. 5 offensive touchdowns and 1 defensive touchdown at 12-1. Who would go for the 7-1? Nobody. Take the 12-1. It's way better value.
Yeah, such better value. I completely agree. By all indications, DRS in Jacksonville, they are going to let him play on both sides of the mm-hmm. football. How much, an even 50-50 split? Is he going to be out there for 70-plus percent of the snaps on either side of the ball throughout 2025? Probably not. Again, he is still looked at as a wide receiver first, corner second. I'm not so sure that makes sense. I'll let a lot smarter football minds handle that than me. But Donnie, it is really exciting to see him in Duval. Why? Liam Cohen, a very bright offensive mind, tasked with reinvigorating the career of his quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. They have Brian Thomas Jr. after a sensational rookie season of more than 1,000 receiving yards on one side, and Travis Hunter on the other. That should cause some optimism for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And by all indications in Duval County, they believe in Travis Hunter above all else. So I am really excited at the prospect of what Hunter is going to do as a Jag in his first year.
Yeah, me too. I'm intrigued. The kid has, you know, a great head on his shoulders, was an unbelievable performer, doing things that we've never seen on the college football level, the Heisman Trophy winner, and it seems like he has a fantastic attitude. In every video you see, he's always having some fun with a big smile on his face. And he says he wants to play both ways, and I get that. But it's just going to be interesting to see how they actually deploy that, because you are talking about one of the better young rookie wide receivers we've seen in a couple years there in Brian Thomas Jr. He was phenomenal. You have a big, talented quarterback with a big arm to get Travis Hunter the football. I just think it's best, even if it's one of those splits where I'm going to play just about every single passing down on defense that we think it's going to be a passing down. And then on offense, when we need to go to our up-tempo pass game, I'll be in there and sort of ease them into the process. I think it makes the most sense. So we're looking at those buy points on where it would be. I do expect him to play a decent amount of defense and offense, and I do expect him to score a defensive touchdown because he is great at jumping pass routes, and he's just said, electric running with the football. He'll score a defensive touchdown this year, and there's no doubt in my mind he's getting 5 touchdowns on offense, but 10 on offense when you're not truly full-time offense, that's hard to do. That's why I like that price point of 12-1 much better than the 7-1 price on the 10 total touchdowns.
Plus 750 for Travis Hunter to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Again, Ashton Jeanty is the favorite at plus 270. Not sure I love what the Raiders have in store for 2025. Not sure I love that price on Jeanty, but it was the earliest we had seen a running back selected, DRS, sixth overall since 2018 when Saquon Barkley went second. Barkley, the last running back to win Offensive Rookie of the Year as well. Abdul Carter, third overall pick, the rightful favorite at plus 250 to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. I like that number. I think Abdul Carter is going to wreak some havoc from the very start in his National Football League playing days. DRS, not much of a change to the Super Bowl odds following the 2025 NFL Draft, but the reigning champs remain the favorites, plus 650 for Philadelphia. Really, the changes we have seen prior to the draft, a shakeup among the trio of AFC teams, the Ravens and the Bills, both shorter prices than Kansas City.
Yeah, well, then again, nothing's a lot of tune to change here. Also, keep in mind, this week, I believe, starts where you could start to make some of those changes to your roster by signing extra free agents because it doesn't count to the compensation factor anymore. So look for some of these teams maybe to make some trades for next year, get some cuts and releases, and also some teams signing some talent here at that point. But we'll find this shakeout. We'll get a better feel for these teams as we start to approach May, which is this week, June, and July. And by the way, July, we have a preseason game in July this year. July is football season. Officially, baby. We're almost there.
Hour number 3, our third and final next.